Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. So glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. Joining me today, and it's a special program. Anytime Dr. Jill Hubbard's on, a special program, but it's a specialer program today, Jill.
Yes, good to see it is. Yeah, because we have something special.
We do. And thanks for being here, Jill. Always good to see you. And, you know, Jill and I, we were, last time we saw each other was last week at Dave Stoops Memorial Service.
Yes.
And we were just talking about what a comfortable, wonderfully comfortable time that always was when it was the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just loved being together, and we miss
good
him.
Good synergy, right?
Yeah, we miss him greatly.
Yeah, we do.
Well, today we usually do not do topics. As we've said before, if we did a topic on depression and somebody had been wanting to call us about their child for a long time, they would just call in and say, I'm really depressed over my child. And so we just didn't want people having to do that anymore. But today we've got a special topic because we've got a special person here. Her name is Charlene Quint. She's a family law attorney. She has a new book out, and it is entitled Overcoming the Narcissist, Sociopath, Psychopath, and Other Domestic Abusers. It is a comprehensive handbook to recognize, remove, and recover from abuse. And she doesn't write this from an intellectual perspective, although it is an intellectual perspective, but it's also from personal experience. And so I want to welcome you, Charlene. Thanks for joining us here today with your book.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Something that you have on is echoing there. And so I hope that we'll get that corrected here before we come back from our break. I do want to ask you to share with everybody what happened to you when you, as a newlywed, and this, I believe, is a 20-year experience in an abusive relationship. Is that right?
That's correct. I, like many people, particularly women of faith, I stayed in an abusive relationship because I felt that was how God wanted me to be, to mm-hmm. put more effort into the relationship and pray. And I find that many women have the same experience that I have had.
Yeah, and many of them would go to a pastor or other Christian counselor and be told, you need to stay there. Now, I just want to mention this real quick. Yesterday, we had my pastor on, Steve Poe. And a lady called in, and she mentioned that she had been hit by her husband. Finally, he had done that. And his first response was, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to get yourself safe. And I have had many pastors say that isn't the first thing is to get yourself faith. It's to get you safe. It's to get your faith in order. Mm-hmm. You would disagree with that, having been through what you've been through, right?
Of course. And I also would note that domestic abuse isn't just hitting. You don't have to wait for someone to physically hit you for it to qualify as mm-hmm. abuse. As the book points out, there's a lot of different types of abuse, and physical abuse is just one.
We're going to go into those. Also, yours is about women in relationship, but women are abusive also. They're not just victims, but they can be abusive. Would you agree with that?
Oh, certainly. Women can be abusive. The statistics show, though, that over 90% of abusers are male. So I wrote it geared towards women because they are the majority of the victims in the case, but certainly men can be victims as well.
Yeah, I just didn't want any of those guys feeling left out because it happens. Sure happened to me. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. If you want to join us, if you've got a question about domestic violence, or maybe you want to share your story, or a question by Charlene Quint. You know, we don't have people, just anybody on the program. This is really a great book for many of you who have struggled. It's so comprehensive. And as I said, it's not just some work done through research. Charlene has been through it, and anybody that's been through this, it is really, really tough, and the effects are long-lasting. Now, I don't want to make this a small point, Charlene. It's huge. You made it before, but let's just go back here. You said it doesn't have to be physical. Let's help some people understand that may not understand that they are being abused.
Right, and let me just interject here. And hi, Charlene. I think that is a large percentage of women don't always know, right? And by the time it would ever escalate, for those cases that do escalate to it being physical, it's been going on for a long time.
That's right.
Charlene, what do you think?
I would agree with Dr. Hubbard. Many women don't recognize that they are in abuse. Well, of course, you want to deny that you're in an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because if you admit that you're in an abusive relationship, well, then you actually have to do something about it. So we call it something else. We call it, oh, well, he has a strong personality, or he's high maintenance, or, you know, he's just a bigger-than-life individual, or he's an alpha male, or whatever we want to call it. And in fact, what is happening is abuse. And there's several different kinds of abuse that we can discuss. The most prevalent kind, in fact, the kind that's prevalent in every situation, is emotional and verbal abuse. They don't usually start with hitting. Emotional abuse is certainly a lot easier to inflict and easier to deny as well. So that includes things like name calling and gaslighting and projection, and which is, you know, accusing someone else of the very thing that they're most guilty of themselves. Gaslighting is saying or doing something and then denying that it was ever said, or, you know, meant to make the other person think that, you know, questioning their sanity. So there's just a lot of different types of, as many different types as the human imagination can go to. But so that's just the easiest. And that happens in 100% of situations. But the next one, which a lot of people don't really recognize, is financial abuse, which, according to statistics, happens in 99% of abusive situations. So
We had a young lady live with us, and she had you would have to call it a pseudo-spiritual experience, and she felt like God was telling her to marry this man. And she did, and I'm telling you, within one day of being married, he took title of her car, took over all the finances, and of course they ended up in divorce because he was extremely abusive. I would say to any woman, if you're considering getting married, you better talk about what's going to happen with the finances. But it seems to me the big headline, Charlene, on somebody that's about to get married is for them to accept something that is very hard for a single woman to accept. You will not change this man. Marriage is not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse. You have to look at the things. You have to talk to people about what you're experiencing, because it's going to get worse. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, but I can also say that in an abusive relationship, there's three distinct phases, And oftentimes women don't understand what they're marrying because the first phase is literally called the love bombing stage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He pretends that he is somebody else. He tries to make himself out to be Prince Charming. He's, you know, Mr. Christian. He goes to church. He's over the top, kind and gracious. And you think, wow, I've just hit the jackpot. I've got Prince Charming, but he's pretending to be somebody that he's
right.
not. And it
let me just interrupt you there and say this.
Such a sad bait and switch.
Yeah. And the only other time you see the phrase love bombing used is in a cult. When you're invited into a cult, mm-hmm. there's this love bombing experience. And so what you're dealing with is a one-man cult, and you're going to be the only follower. What's the second phase then?
Well, the second phase, as your friend found out, is the devaluation phase, which usually happens right after a big event, whether it's a marriage or they decide to move in together or they decide to buy a house together or some type of situation where now she is financially and emotionally, locked in. And
yeah.
the whole love bombing phase was to get her financially and emotionally attached, to get his claws in. Mm-hmm. And so she finds herself in this next phase, which is where the abuse starts, completely surprised. So she keeps thinking, well, you know, maybe we can go back to that, you know, when he was so nice when we were dating. If I'm just nicer, if I just submit some more, if I just do that, I'll get that person back. And mm-hmm. she doesn't realize that person will never come back because he never yeah. existed. He's, yeah. That was just a ploy to get her into his clutches.
Well, and so what's the third phase then?
The third phase is called the discard phase. When she finally realizes that this is not going to change and mm-hmm. he realizes that mm-hmm. she knows his game, he will discard her as easily as someone discards yesterday's newspaper. You know, she's like a kitchen appliance. It doesn't work. Throw it out. Replace it with a new one. And it's very difficult phase because she's emotionally attached and hoping that this could get better. And she's cared for this person. And then she realizes, wow, he never really cared for me. It was mm-hmm. just, he only went into the relationship because he views people as objects to use. And once they have outlived their usefulness, he's on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, it's always the good and the bad news. It's not about you is the good news, and it's not about you is the bad news, too. Right?
So true.
Right? It's about them. It's never about you, and that's such a sad state.
Okay, so let me give you the phone number here if you want to join us. It's 1-800-229-3000. But I want to jump right over to a source of hope here, and you share in the book there are three R's that can be helpful getting a person to that place, back to the place of freedom. I want you to share that. But again, if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000, that is the phone number. So what are those three R's, Charlene?
Well, I call the big three R's of abuse is recognize abuse and then remove yourself from abuse and then recover. From abuse. And all of those are important. As we talked about, a lot of people don't even recognize mm-hmm. that they're in an abusive relationship, which is really all about power and control. And there can be a lot of different ways to do that. We talked about emotional and financial, but there's also physical and sexual and spiritual mm-hmm. abuse as well. So whatever tools are at an abuser's hand, he will use them. And the second part is removing yourself from that abuse. As you've pointed out, abuser's not going to change. So we must get to that point where we take ourselves out of that relationship, as difficult as it can be and will be. That is probably the most difficult thing that a woman will ever do in her life, bar none. And then the third phase is recovering and making that choice to heal. We have to choose to heal. We have to choose to live a life of victory and not stay as a victim. So the book helps us all do that. And it's a mindset. Most of healing is that psychological healing and changing our mindset so that we have the mind of God and think of it from his perspective versus poor me. I'm never going to change. This is never going to be good. I'm going to have a horrible life ahead of me.
Well, I would hate for anybody who's been with an abuser for that abuser to have the last word on their life. Mm-hmm. And what I found in a lot of the literature, Charlene, is a lot of information on recognizing, a lot of information on getting out of the situation, and then getting through it, which oftentimes is just getting through it in the legal process, whether it's, you know, going to court, all that stuff, or the legal process of divorce from this abusive man. But a lot of times we see a lack of beyond the abuse. I think you're calling it recovery from it. I call it restoration. We don't want to just people to get through it. We want them to get over it and beyond it. And I think you've got some valuable things there. What is important in the process so that a woman doesn't turn around and end up in another relationship that's abusive?
Well, those are really good questions. And I would agree that there's not a lot of material on healing from this. And that's why I wanted to write this book, so it's comprehensive, all in a one-stop shop. On how to recognize, remove, and recover or heal. I think probably the most important thing that I have found, not only in my own life, but as I help other women, I run a number of support groups, and, of course, as an attorney, I help women out. The number one thing is you have to make healing our priority, and then we have to replace the lies that we have believed with the truth. God's truth. Mm-hmm. And when you replace the lies that somehow Satan has placed in our mind, either through the abuser or through society or through our own thoughts that are not correct, and we take God's word and replace those lies and with his truth, that's the key to healing.
Okay.
And there can be hundreds, if not thousands, of lies that we believe. Just for one example, you know, a lot of women think, I'm just unlovable. My abusers told me so often that I'm unlovable. There's nothing in me. I have no qualities that anyone would love me. Well, that's a lie. And mm-hmm. we need to replace that with God's
Absolutely.
Truth. And he says, I've made you in my image. You are, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made. I sing songs over you. I delight in you. Just, you know, when we get that, we start to heal. But that's just one of perhaps thousands of lies that they've...
Yeah,
that
all
right. Right. And Charlene, a lot of times women are set up for this kind of thing when they've had deficits, when they've had father issues, when they don't feel loved, valued, and special, and then this guy comes in and starts love bombing them. It's like the salve to their wound, and then he right. beats them down even further, right?
Yeah.
So it's
well,
a lifelong.
Let's get to some of our phone calls here, and I want to go to Beverly right now. And Beverly, do you have a question here for Charlene?
I'm not sure. I'm listening to this, and I'm hearing she could have been a fly on the wall in my life. In my first marriage, I was married for 20 years, and it was extremely abusive.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, only God brought me through it. I should have been dead 10 times over.
Wow. Okay.
And then when I literally got my kids at 16 and 17 into an apartment, and I hid. I changed my name, my car, my job,
wow.
moved to a different county. And a man stepped in 2 years after that. A man stepped in, and he love bombed me because I had no self-worth. And he's a good man, though. He's a good man, and he would do anything for me. But I also learned that he emotionally took advantage of my vulnerability. And once I was of no use, he's discarded me, but he still keeps me at hand's length.
Hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense. We don't have a physical relationship. I'm not his type. He's very two-faced. And I find myself listening to this and wondering, you know, I see my old life as a black and white movie. God has just brought me through it. He's given me everything I lost. And even though I rebelled against God when he told me not to marry this man, I'm not sure what to do. I don't feel like I have the right to divorce because it's not that kind of marriage. It's just I'm stuck. I see.
All right, Beverly, hold on. You hear the music. We got to go to a break, but we're going to help you right after this. We'll hear what Charlene has to say. It's a great book. It's comprehensive. Think you could benefit from it, especially if you're in any kind of abusive relationship. Overcoming the Narcissist, Sociopath, Psychopath, and Other Domestic Abusers. Charlene Quint is the author. We'll be back with her and Dr. Jill Hubbard right after this. Glad you're with us.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, wherever you might see us, this is the book, and it's a big one. It's a really big book, and it's comprehensive, and the big word, overcoming, and it's written from a Christian perspective. I think you'll like this. It's just full of truth and help for you, and boy, do people need a lot of help. So what do you think? When you hear Beverly say these things, Charlene, what are you thinking here?
Well, Beverly and I had a similar situation. At one point in my life, I had to flee my own home, and I went into hiding for 2.5 years. I finally came out later and said I'm going to change my life and change who I allow into my life. One of the things I would push back, and she said he's a good man, but I'm taking notes here, and she said he's a good man, but he's emotionally abusive, he's two-faced, and he used her. So I would question whether he is a good man. And I would point out a couple things. You have to have, in order to have an emotionally healthy marriage, you have to have two emotionally healthy people. Mm-hmm. And both Beverly and her partner they're not emotionally healthy. She's attached to an abuser and putting up with abuse, and he's not cherishing her as a man should cherish his wife. So I would say that there needs to be some emotional health here. I would recommend that she would get some individual counseling. We know that marriage counseling, couples counseling is not recommended when there is abuse involved. So I would recommend that she get some individual counseling and a support group surrounded by women who understand what she's going through. He can go to abuser counseling. It has a very low success ratio. But abusers are on this scale, so
that's right.
The thing about counseling is you have to want to change. You have to want to make it work. You have to have goodness in your heart for the other person, and if you have that, that gives it a possibility. But if you don't want to change, which is really why most abusers never change,
So. Good men, Charlene, as you were pointing out, get help, right? That's kind of a demarcation. Mm-hmm. And that pathology is on a continuum. So people can have narcissistic traits. Men can be uninformed, maybe have witnessed abuse in their home, have been abused themselves, ignorant, all those things. And if they get help and work on things, that's a good man. That's a man whose conscience is not so seared, and he's not so entrenched in that abusive pattern, right? He just didn't know a lot of times. But you're right. There's a lot of abusers that will placate and will say, yes, I want to get help. But those are the ones that drop out after one or two sessions.
So,
right, and are unwilling.
Yeah, Beverly, you're hearing these things, and what do you? Before I want to ask you, when you said he was a good man, what did you mean by that? Wondering if Beverly is still there. Okay, Beverly, what did you mean when you said he was a good man? I'm not able to get her on, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I think he wasn't as severe as the first one, mm-hmm. right? And it sounds like he's providing. But the fact that he's discarding her, what else is he doing outside of the home? If they're not together, they're not in a intimate relationship at all, he's just supporting her. Okay, well, that's, I guess, benevolent of him. But if he's going off and living a separate life, that's pretty much abandonment.
Yeah, it is. Let's. I wish we could have gone to her, but she not able to get her. Let's see if we could talk to Steve from Dallas, Texas. Steve, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You have a comment or something you want to ask about?
Yes, I just want to testify that everything that you guys are saying is 100% true. I like to consider myself a former, I don't like to consider myself, but I am a former abuser. You know, about 2 years ago was the last straw for me and my wife, you know, and it finally resulted in physical, you know, abuse. And it started out exactly how you say, you know, controlling, narcissism, you know, needing, you know, to be in control, have power. And when that wasn't enough, you know, I resulted to using my hands. And fortunately, I had a wife that was strong enough. And I like to think that I'm part of that very few percent that does and was able to turn around. But it was a long road. And my wife I don't think she's still fully recovered. But it was definitely a challenge. And what I'd like to say is, you know, men can change. But like you guys were just saying, they've got to want to change. And fortunately, I love my wife and my family enough that I realized something was wrong. And through therapy, I found out I had a lot of self-esteem issues that I was able to work through. And I'd like to say that I'm fully recovered, but I'd just like to say to any men that are out there listening, that are, you know, like me or like I was, you know, it is something that you can work through and something that, you know, you're able to overcome if you really want to.
Mm. Steve, I really appreciate your call, and I think you give hope to women and you give hope to men. And so many men, they're not long-term abusers, but they go through a phase of abuse where they really get in a bad place and they can recover from that versus that chronic abuser, not good for that guy.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Charlene Quint. She is the author of Overcoming. And you're overcoming the narcissist, sociopath, psychopath, and other domestic abusers. And it's common. It's not just something out there in the world. It's in Christian marriages, too. And right now, I think we ought to talk with, how about we go over and talk with, we've got so many calls. Anita. Let's talk to Anita. She's from Dallas also. Hi, Anita. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
I went through, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I went through an emotionally abusive relationship, marriage for, we were in a relationship about 20 years, we're married. And then he's a narcissist and he's got some antisocial personality disorder and other issues. My divorce team, and had three children on a divorce team, and just single for 12 years. And I'm a licensed professional counselor from Oklahoma originally. And I was stopped by him, I mean, anything from sugar and gas tanks, silicone and oil tanks, graffiti. I mean, just, I was harassed by him for 12 years until I finally moved to Texas to get away. And, but anyway, I still have, you know, to get over and to get healing through that. And since I'm a counselor, I know a lot, thank God, but I had to forgive myself daily for years, and I had to forgive him daily for years. Not that I would ever forgive him and put him back into my life whatsoever. Of course, I'm remarried and happy now, but I have to forgive him. Even sometimes still, I have to forgive him for the pain and the emotional abuse that he did and the stalking and how he hurt my life for so many years. Mm-hmm. But I had to give it daily to the Lord. Daily. Lord, I forgive him. I just forgive him. I give this to you, because I knew if I kept that baggage, it would wound and affect me.
Charlene, you have a comment here for her, talking about a situation, stalking for 12 years. You have thought about that?
Well, that is a very common a common reaction to leaving an abuser. They, you know, the primary focus for them is having control and power over someone. And mm-hmm. when someone leaves them, that's the most dangerous time. And then it continues, because there's a few things that we can always expect, and that's they will become vindictive, and mm-hmm. they will try to destroy that other person. And so it seems like, Anita, you've had some struggles with forgiveness, and I think everybody who's been in one of these abusive relationships does have struggles with forgiveness, because it's not just a one and done thing. It continues. They are continuing to abuse you, mm-hmm. and so that's just a struggle with the Holy Spirit. But let me just say that I think forgiveness is probably one of the most misunderstood words in the Christian language. So let me say a couple things of what forgiveness is not. It's not trusting him again. It's not reconciling with him. It's not letting him back into your life.
Right.
It's not saying that it's okay. It's not any of those things. It's letting God do the avenging. And if you will notice throughout the Bible, God always says, you know, forgive and repent before he is in a relationship with us. And he doesn't require us to do more than he is willing to do.
Right.
He requires repentance before he is in a relationship with us. And so, yes, forgiveness is difficult, but it's really for us, so that we don't go around with bitterness in our lives and in our hearts that just destroys us from the inside. So I appreciate your struggle mm-hmm. with the forgiveness. It's a daily thing, but you're right. It doesn't.
Well, and Anita, it sounds like for your sanity daily, you were handing the anger over to the Lord.
Yes.
Because
I did that for my own sanity.
Right. Because as these things were continuing, right, Charlene, as you were saying, I mean, it's like you're still in it. So it's like there is definitely more to forgive. And I think forgiveness is often misused, because, you know, women often jump to forgiveness as a way of somehow preserving whatever goodness that they've thought they've invested in.
Well, let me ask a question about that, Jill. Anita, you were talking about 12 years and forgiving daily. Now, do you think, is there any chance that you were forgiving at a time when it wasn't time to forgive, but it was a time to take action to protect yourself sooner than just moving 12 years? I know it's really tough, but I just wonder how you, looking back now, were you forgiving or moving in that direction a little too soon?
It was a process. I think I had to go through the process, because it took me that amount of time, because it was happening. I just had to do it in order to be healthy. You understand what I'm saying? I couldn't forgive him for... It's just a process. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but he was still harassing me and stalking me and ruining my property. I would just have to forgive him of that, so that
did
I
you,
would...
Did you call the police?
But did you also take action?
Did you call the police?
Oh, yes.
I don't hear that you're sitting
me my
idle.
Name. No.
It's so sad.
It was a very terrible. But you know, there is justice, and he did finally get caught this last year as hiring somebody to shoot people's at people's homes and cars, and he did that to my places too, my office and my.
Wow.
So he is getting justification after 20-some years, and that is a wonderful.
Yeah.
Not wonderful, but he never repented, and he used to know God, and so.
Yeah.
God is a God of justice, and God gives people many, many chances, and that, you know, even the abuser has to stop and repent and turn away
well,
from his
I am
way
so sorry.
God to give
well,
him that
well,
I'm sorry for what happened to you, and I'm glad that you called us, and I'll send you a copy of this book. Jill, you had a final comment?
Well, yeah, I think your story just highlights that abusers, they are the ones that provoke, and yet, like you said, when you leave them, right, they feel like the victims.
They're the victim.
They've been wronged,
yes,
and
the
they do not let go of that, and they want to annihilate, basically, right? They hold that grudge forever.
Well, it applies to several different disorders, but their rallying call is, I hate you, don't leave me. All right, I want to go to Sarah. From Dallas, Texas also. Sarah, you are on with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Charlene Quint. How you doing today? What's going on?
I'm nervous. When I heard the broadcast this morning, that was my story. Hmm. From start to finish, I came in about 12:07 Dallas time, and everything that was said was my story. I've been married for 24 years, and I've just discovered that the narcissistic behaviors and all of that over the last couple of years, and have been trying to figure out what I can do to make it better. I'm a Christian. I believe in marriage. I got married to with the intent of being married till death do us part. But 3 years in, he changed. And I became the brunt of everything. I could do nothing. Everything I did, he undermined with my kids, isolation from my family, all of it. So my question is, how do I get out after 24 years of marriage?
Wow. Rough. Well, what do you think, Charlene? What do you say here?
That's a very good question, and the question which every woman who is in a situation as you are needs to address. So I recommend a few things. First of all, I recommend getting a plan together as opposed to just leaving, which is very difficult, and this is going to be a huge life-changing event. So I recommend getting a financial plan together. How are you going to support yourself? Do you need to go back to school? Do you need to go get a job? Whatever it is, because in most cases, an abuser will continue the financial abuse and not pay whatever he's supposed to pay under a marital settlement agreement. So getting a financial plan together, getting a safety plan. The first thing is, how are you going to stay physically safe and emotionally safe? Sometimes that means you're going to have to leave the house, and it has to be quickly. So have a bag packed and keep it in your trunk of your car. If you have children at home, is there a keyword or a code word that you can use when you hear that we're all going to go out and you know meet at a certain place and we're going to stay overnight at a hotel or a friend's house or a shelter or what have you. So you'll want to have a legal plan because that's important. You'll want to have an emotional support plan. This is a very isolating type of event, so you'll want to have friends and a counselor and a support group that can help you get through this process. And then, of course, a spiritual plan so that you can be grounded in the Lord, because this is a spiritual battle like you've never seen before.
Well, to me, you got to get some help first.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I'll try to get a copy of this book to everybody that has called us today. But I just want to make a final comment. I made it at the end, but I want to follow up on it. Here in Indiana, there is an organization called Prevail, and it's a not-for-profit. It's funded, and anybody that has experienced any kind of abuse can go there and get services. I don't think it's a national organization, but locally, you have to find places like this, because if you went there, I'm very familiar with this place, if you went there, it would change your life. They would help you with that plan. Mm-hmm. They'd help you follow through with the plan. They'd help you find resources that you need. And just to be sitting in this kind of marriage by yourself and hoping that it gets better and saying, well, I'm not going to divorce because God doesn't like divorce. Well, there's a lot in between doing nothing and divorcing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to encourage you to do. Anything else that you would like to say to Sarah, Charlene, before we move on?
I would agree with you. Don't do this alone. Get some experts on mm-hmm. your side that can help you through this process. It's very difficult to go through alone. But these local domestic violence shelters are lifesavers. They've mm-hmm. seen it before. They understand it. They have wraparound services, oftentimes everything from free counseling to free career counseling to sometimes even long-term shelter and short-term shelter.
Yeah, that's right.
It will change your life.
Well,
so,
okay. Please, and I think you have to you have to ask yourself that in 24 years of marriage, what has he been willing to do to help grow the relationship, to help invest in the marriage, to help make it better? What has he been willing to do? And are you the only one that's working at this?
Right. And also, just be sure that you're not using God as a fatal excuse by saying, mm-hmm. well, he doesn't like divorce or whatever. You really have to move beyond doing nothing. Passivity has never solved a problem, ever. Let's go to Pam. Pam's calling us from Boise, Idaho. Hi, Pam. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. I'm really jittery inside just listening to all of this, but I'm just going to be real quick. I went through the emotional, sexual, physical, all of that. We dated for 10 years, 1 year married, and that's when the first week I knew that something was, it was like a Jekyll and Hyde. I've been divorced for 10 years, but I cannot seem to trust people as friends or otherwise. And my question is that some of his friends told me when we were dating not to marry him, that he was a sick person. They use a different term there, but I don't want to say that. And even when we were about ready to be married, members of his own family said he better not hurt you. And I'm just wondering, how can a person get caught into this when, you know, because he was, like earlier in the show, Prince Charming, but
yeah,
how does one get so trapped in this?
Right. Well, Charlene, I bet you could really help her understand this, because it's pretty easy to understand how you can get trapped into it.
Right, and that's how almost everyone gets into an abusive relationship. One of the things that I have found is that women in these relationships truly have some wonderful qualities. They invest in relationships, and they're forgiving, and they're giving, and they're lovely and sweet and tender, and have all these amazing super qualities as women of faith. But the one thing that is missing is this discernment, and that's the one thing that we really need to shore up in our lives, is to just being able to discern good from evil. Mm-hmm. And as you come out of these relationships, and you whether they're good people in your life that you are co-workers or friends or a potential romantic relationship again, we have to be discerning. And that, again, is letting go of, you know, rejecting the lies that we've believed and then replacing it with God's truth. And the more that we do that, the more discerning we get. I think one of the misunderstandings of many women going into these relationships is that, oh, everybody's good, and they have no boundaries, and they open themselves up to people. They share too much. They're oversharing the first date, and when, in fact, we need to be discerning and a little bit more protective of our hearts. You know, God's word says, guard your heart. And that's what we really have to do until people show us that they're trustworthy. So yeah. there's something in us. If people have told you that he was a bad person and not to do that, you need to examine what is in you that led you to go ahead and make this commitment to this person who multiple people told you that
that
wasn't healthy.
Yeah, that really stood out to me as well, is what caused you to ignore that. And that's something important to look at, that this discernment that Charlene is talking about, now you're going the opposite direction and saying, okay, well, I really blew it, so I just won't trust anyone. Pam, I think it would be really good for you to be in a support group where there are boundaries and mutual respect, where you can learn to start trusting friends again.
The other thing I would say is it would be so easy if Satan wore a little red suit and carried a pitchfork. But Satan is described as the angel of light. And that's why some very, very broken, hurtful, sick people look so very, very good in the beginning. Got a couple of minutes here, Charlene. What else would you want anybody to know who's been through what you've been through?
I would want them to know that there is hope on the other side. God, in his word, I'm just so grateful that he's given us the Bible to read and to have hope. But truly, his plans for us are good. And without exception, every woman who I have helped go through this process of getting out of abuse and literally escaping abuse has thrived on the other side. And she may have been in there for such a long time because she was afraid of the unknown, but God really does open up his storehouses of blessings and helps us thrive on the other side when we are out from under this cloud of abuse. And the other thing I would say is that oftentimes, you know, people ask about, well, what's the redemption here? You know, if my husband doesn't change, where's the redemption? The redemption story of a woman coming out of abuse, very seldom is he going to change. We don't get these miraculous Paul changes very often. Right. But the redemption story more likely sounds like God's redemption of his people out of Egypt, through a desert, into the promised land.
Yeah.
We know that Pharaoh didn't change. He continued to be evil. He didn't want these people to leave, and he made it really difficult for them to leave. And that's what it's like trying to leave an abuser. He's not going to change. He's going to make every effort to keep you there, even though he doesn't care about you.
All right. I wish, Charlene, I've got to interrupt. We're just about out of time, and you have a wonderful book here, and I am so grateful that we got to talk to you about it. Overcoming the Narcissist, Sociopath, Psychopath, and Other Domestic Abusers. I'm just going to say this. If you're being abused, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's all you have to do. We can help you, but we can't help you if you believe that waiting on the Lord means doing nothing, or that God doesn't like divorce, so there's nothing to do. You can do it, and we'll help you find that path if you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anybody supporting this ministry today, I'll send you a copy of this wonderful, wonderful book by Steve Poe, Creatures of Habit. We had Steve on yesterday. Every Man's Battle is May 1st. And I'll tell you, some of you guys, you could be free in one day. Totally free.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.